VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, for over 2 years, the American people have been told by the news media, we've been told by politicians that there was an attempt by violent armed insurrectionists to overthrow the government. I mean, it's a narrative that has continued up until this day. And they also say that it was something that was prodded by then President Donald Trump. However, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy released thousands of hours of footage to Tucker Carlson of Fox News, who indicated that the footage aired had been vetted by Capitol Hill police before broadcasting to ensure that there was not any security concerns. And what he has revealed presents a whole new narrative of what happened on January 6. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called this a mistake. Chuck Schumer was outraged, called for the censoring of Tucker Carlson. Well, we're going to discuss this matter here today and delve into it with our guest, Stephen Bonta, executive senior editor and longtime contributor to the New American Magazine. He holds a Ph.D. from Cornell University, where he has also taught there and at Penn State University. He's the author of the book Inside the United Nations. Steve, welcome here to Crosstalk.
Hi, thank you. Great to be here.
So for over 2 years, we've been told thousands and thousands of times by the media that what was happening on January 6, 2021 was an insurrection. Was it?
Short answer, no. A little history lesson. I was thinking as you were going through the introduction. Back in the 1980s, there was an incident in Bogota, Colombia, where the FARC communist guerrillas seized control of the Supreme Court building in Bogota with, you know, lots and lots of men, very heavily armed, and an armed siege proceeded for several days in the heart of Bogota, which ended in a violent shootout with the military. Hundreds of people were killed. I think part of the building burned down. It, you know, involved tanks and mortars and machine guns, everything. That's what an armed insurrection looks like. Mm-hmm. Or you can talk to any country that has suffered a coup d'etat. Those are armed insurrections. This was a mass demonstration, a popular manifestation of disapproval for the way the elections were carried out, and a few hooligans got a bit carried away. But the vast majority of and some of that's shown in the tapes. I mean, you can see a few people, you know, climbing in through broken windows rather than walking through the open doors. But the vast majority of the uncounted thousands of people that were there, and by the way, they had a legal right to be there. They had, at least outside the Capitol, they had gotten a permit for this demonstration. So everyone knew it was happening. Generally, insurrectionists don't secure permits for their actions right. Either. Okay, and so what we see in the cameras. I mean, frankly, I'm kind of hoping Tucker releases more stuff. Mm-hmm. As we had a nice dump last week, a week ago Monday. And then it's been kind of quiet since then.
Now you're not denying there was violence though on January 6th, are you?
No, I'm not denying it. It certainly was, some, but that wasn't the main thrust of what was going on. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's clear some people broke some windows. Okay, several hundred people were arrested, but if you look at the size of the crowd, there were thousands and thousands of people there. So yes, it's unfortunate things got out of hand. But an insurrection is when you try to overthrow a government, usually by violence, by force. It involves people with guns. Heaven knows, most Trump supporters and a lot of other Americans besides are armed to the teeth by most standards. And nobody was carrying that day. The idea that they were armed stems from the claims that, well, some of them were carrying, flagpoles with spiky things on the top. So that apparently constituted a weapon. So, but you can see the videos. And of course, the man who is sort of made the face of this deplorable act, was the name Jacob, something or other, the guy with the horned headpiece.
Yeah. This is Jacob Chansley. He was known as
I was actually living overseas when all this,
the QAnon shaman,
But clearly you can see there's a lot of footage dedicated to him, and that's very useful because he's probably the person most vilified. And it's pretty clear that he was not one of the guys involved in the initial acts of hooliganism. And in fact, his stated purpose was to go into the Capitol to try to help, the authorities calm things down, which may have been a good reason why the police were treating him deferentially, as it were, and escorting him around and this kind of thing. Who knows? I mean, we don't have any audio, so.
Yeah, and what you're stating is not an overstatement at all. They were escorting him. I mean, there was no evidence revealed that Jacob Chansley, again known as the QAnon shaman, evidence that he committed any act of violence.
Yes, I mean, obviously he committed thought crime in spades, like most people involved in the event, i.e., he dared to question the outcome of the 2020 elections.
Mm-hmm.
This is, by the way, not the first time that it's pretty clear that there were major shenanigans that affected the outcome of a national election. It's very, very likely that JFK was elected fraudulently by mob engineered theft of the state of Chicago, or the state of Illinois, using mostly voters in Chicago. Back in 1960, to make sure that Nixon didn't get elected president. So, this has happened before, although not on such a scale. And, whether or not we'll ever know the full story of what happened in the elections is not clear. But lots and lots of people, emotions were still extremely raw in January 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And,
and we're going to unfold a lot of things here. Let's talk for a moment here about this January 6th Select Committee. Many believe that they were very suspect from the very start, and I think it's very astounding to me that a top Democrat, Select Committee Chairman Benny Thompson, claimed that the panel never analyzed the footage, saying, quote, "I'm not actually aware of any member of the committee who had access. We had a team of employees who kind of went through the video." I mean, this should really alarm the American people. I mean, kind of went through the video and that the Select Committee had not analyzed all this video footage now that Tucker has released so far.
Well, they must have been aware of it. I mean, in fact, a lot of the footage that Tucker's gone through, apparently it's marked in some way that they had been looked at. So someone looked at it.
Yeah, some of the staff members.
It didn't fit the narrative, and so they let it go. I mean, the whole January 6th committee was fraudulent in the sense that the opposition party, the GOP, was not given any kind of proportional minority representation, not given a voice. The only people involved at all in the GOP were people who were basically, rhino, Democrat wannabe types.
Handpicked.
Was it Liz Cheney? I think was the only one, or there were two. I disremember, but it was absolutely bizarre. I mean, this broke with all the tradition. And if you want contrast, you need look no farther than the welter of hearings that sensational hearings that took place last week involving a whole range of subjects in the House, in which the Democrats were given appropriate representation and true to form. Attacked those at the Tybee and Schellenberger hearings. They interrupted Jim Jordan repeatedly and talked over him and did all the stuff that they do, the character assassination and so forth. But the point being is that, they were certainly, no one can accuse the Republicans of squelching the Democrats and their point, running roughshod over them. But that's precisely what the Democrats did with the January 6th committee.
Stephen Ponder with us here today on Crosstalk from thenewamerican.com. We kept hearing the same narrative. We kept seeing the same scenes. President Biden has said 140 officers were injured in the attack. And then he talked of Officer Brian Sicknick killed in this assault on the Capitol. What can you tell us about Officer Brian Sicknick?
Well, of course, he was seen alive on the tapes. Well after he had allegedly left the scene or been killed, depending on the narrative. I mean, the original narrative was very confused. Officer Sicknick did pass away, and it's not clear that the cause was ever established, except that it seems to have been a brainstem aneurysm, from what I understand. And so people on the left are insisting, well, he must have died because he sustained a head injury in the melee. So
yeah.
I don't know enough about medical science to know if there's any propriety to that. Certainly when people are pushing and shoving and whacking on each other, things like that can happen. But what is clear is that he was not, beaten to death by the mob as was sort of alleged initially, or that he was disabled and had to be carried off in a stretcher, anything like that. He continued discharging his normal duties and then apparently died rather unexpectedly a couple of days later. That's my understanding of events, but there are so many conflicting versions of the story, and you can be sure that those versions that don't fit the official narrative will be suppressed or quietly retracted. Mm-hmm. In the case of the New York Times, initial frenetic reporting on Sicknick, they did retract their initial claims, but they did it after everyone else was distracted by other other things.
Well, we also have the Attorney General Merrick Garland, who made comments on this, and in regard to the footage released by Tucker Carlson, and he indicated over 100 officers were assaulted on that day, and then he said 5 officers died.
Yes. That's absurd. I mean, what we do know is that there was only one death on the site, and that was, of course, the one civilian demonstrator who was shot by police,
Ashley Babbitt.
Ashley Babbitt, correct? Yes, a former U.S. military member, as was the QAnon shaman. By the way, quite a few people in the crowd were former U.S. military. I have to note, it just boggles the imagination. Unfortunately, we at the New American have always been very wary of large public demonstrations, even for a worthy cause, for precisely this reason. The founder of the John Birch Society, Robert Welch, the parent organization of the New American, always used to say that you have to be careful not to put yourself in a situation where the opposition, where they can basically create these sort of events that they can then blame on you. And this is, I think, what has happened. I don't know if there are agent provocateurs in the group, although of course that's alleged that was, and it very probably was, the case. But the thing is that all those people, and in addition to them, President Trump, the whole MAGA cause, and the broader political right, including people like you and I, have all been smeared and besmirched as a result of this event. So there probably are more effective ways to take the country back and make our voices heard. This kind of thing, unfortunately, these sorts of events are too susceptible to infiltration and then this sort of thing.
And there has been footage caught on other individuals, with their cell phone cameras and so forth, showing those who were dressed one way, then all of a sudden putting on, more MAGA-friendly clothing or hats and so forth to go mix in with the Capitol crowd as well. There have been several of those videos that have come forth here.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, this historically, this kind of thing, goes way back to the French Revolution. One of the revolutionaries said something like, give me 50 sous and I'll create a riot for you anytime you want. It's a very easy thing also to pay off people, mm-hmm. to stir up trouble, to infiltrate large mobs, to get, because people individually are capable of reason, even if they often decline to use that faculty. But in a large group, reason decision-making is impossible. As anyone who's been to a football game knows, a large football game or a public sporting event, the crowd mood is very, very fickle. People, get angry one minute, they're delirious with joy when their team makes a touchdown, and 2 minutes later they're ready to lynch the officials because of a blown call. And so people know how to take advantage of the psychology of crowds.
We're going to take a quick break here. Stephen Bonta with us today, executive senior editor and longtime contributor to The New American. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what happens to a fossil when it's buried?
Chris, a buried fossil quickly begins to decompose. It's relentlessly attacked by bacteria eating away at the organic material. Recently, however, several fossils have been discovered with the original organic material intact. Here's a couple examples. Soft dinosaur tissue was found, supposedly over 65 million years old. Elsewhere, clam fossils were found with the organic muscles holding the two shells together, supposedly 200 million years old. Now, evolutionists are committed to the millions of years idea, so they overlook this obvious evidence for rapid recent burial. Chris, it looks like a rapid burial event happened not very long ago. I think that's the Great Flood of Noah's Day that's mentioned back in Genesis.
To find out more about creation science, Visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Steve Bonta is with us today, executive senior editor and writer for The New American and author of the book Inside the United Nations. Stephen, just a word about The New American, and I know that's a magazine that's available for people to subscribe to.
Yes, well, it's available on, you know, you can see some of it online. You can also subscribe. Go to thenewamerican.com for more information. We also have podcasts and videos, you know, the whole suite of resources.
Great. And we're talking today on Crosstalk on the J6 footage, providing another narrative, a narrative that now is coming through Tucker Carlson as he's released some of this. And again, whatever he has released has gone through Capitol Security to be sure that nothing is being compromised, whether it be, you know, escape routes for congressional members of the Congress or other sensitive areas. But there was an individual known as Ray Epps who had been caught on camera inciting the crowds. Has anything been revealed in footage as to this point regarding Ray Epps?
Well, again, Ray Epps made some claims that he, in effect, you know, as soon as the demonstration heated up or even before that, he left the premises. Never entered the Capitol building. And he basically claimed he got disenchanted with the whole thing and went back to his hotel room by, I think his claim was about 12:30 or something like that. And yet he's shown on the video, on some of the footage, standing at the front of the vanguard of the crowd right at the base of the Capitol steps, much late, you know, and the videos are all timestamped. So, you know, we know the times, you know, 1:30, 2 in the afternoon, this type of thing. So either Mr. Epps' memory is very defective or there's something else going on. That kind of goes back to what we were talking about before the break, that, you know, large crowds are very easy to infiltrate, subvert, and to get to do things that maybe individually they wouldn't consider doing. And he may well have been some sort of agent provocateur for the government.
In an article that you wrote for The New American, you indicate that some of the footage that we have seen, you know, repeatedly that the media had been showing was doctored and dramatized by media professionals. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, and this is according to Tucker Carlson, anyone who saw the initial broadcast. He says, in effect, I didn't know any of this, but apparently the news media often do this, that they will to sensationalize certain, you know, events that they want to sensationalize. They hire outside experts to doctor up the sound, you know, to amplify the crowd noise, to add, you know, sounds of things breaking and guns firing or whatever the need happens to be. And in this case, that was manifestly the case. The major news media apparently the pieces of footage that they did show over and over again in concert and more or less, you know, in a closed loop, footage of tear gas being fired and people pushing and shoving and this kind of thing to suggest, and windows being broken. I think those were like the three main items that were shown. Were also very, very much, so we say, acoustically enhanced, so that it sounded like it was an absolute melee, you know, like the Bastille Day or something that, the storming of the Bastille, when it was in fact nothing of the kind.
And yet we have the mainstream media attacking this footage that Carlson has aired, saying it's misleading, it flies in the face of facts established by the arrest and court cases. No surprise there that the media would attack the footage.
Well, you know, two things there. I mean, first of all, it is just so telling that the media and the Democrats, you know, they who used to pose as paladins of free speech and openness and transparency and all this kind of thing, in the interest of you know, free press, all the rest of this, have all closed ranks and said, well, no, we shouldn't be releasing this. The American people don't, and in effect, what they're saying is the American people don't need to know or shouldn't know. This information is dangerous. So all of these are sentiments, of course, of associated with dictatorship and censorship and not with the open society that you and I grew up with. So that's one significant thing. The other thing that is significant, maybe significant, I don't know for sure, but Dinesh D'Souza, you know, published a piece, I believe Thursday or Friday last week, in which he pointed out something very curious. And that was that, you know, we had this big dump of information a week ago last Monday night on the Tucker Carlson show, with every indication that this was going to continue. Because after all, you know, he got something like, by his own admission, 40,000 hours of security tape footage.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't get any more. You know, since then, we've had, you know, periodic references back to those tapes from last Monday. And we had a nice interview with one of the Capitol Hill police that have sort of been marginalized, and no one wants to talk to him, and he had a story, all this type of thing. But no more footage. And so, you know, Dinesh D'Souza was wondering, I think, perhaps with some cause, as to whether Rupert Murdoch and the other suits that run Fox News, you know, sort of withered under the pressure. Because, of course, you know, Senator Schumer delivered some not very veiled threats as to what Fox News needed to do. And they wanted to cashier Tucker Carlson and everything else. And who knows what's going on behind the scenes. But it looks as though, possibly, you know, there may be more information, but pressure is being brought to bear on Fox and on Tucker Carlson, and maybe we're not going to get any more.
Well,
I find it hard to believe that there isn't any more worth releasing.
Absolutely.
We've seen already.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we had Chuck Schumer calling for the censorship. We, you know, he did call out Rupert Murdoch as well, you know, in statements made there. And I believe you're very accurate. There are things going on behind the scenes we know not of that would explain why there has not been more that has been forthcoming at this point.
Yeah, and I would decline to speculate further because we just don't know, but it's passing strange that we, you know, kind of had all this build up and then everything Monday night. And I remember we were very excited here at the New American getting ready to watch Tuesday night and Wednesday night. We were expecting a week-long extravaganza. And it kind of a bit of a damp squib after Monday. And Tucker himself has kind of gone back to that well a number of times, you know, saying, well, you know, once again, you know, here's the footage we showed you last Monday of the QAnon shaman that shows that everyone was, you know, they were lying about him. And he's like, okay, well, we made that point Monday night. Why do we need to keep making the point?
Right.
I mean, no criticism of Tucker himself. I think he's done a great job, but I'd like to see more evidence. I really would.
Well, what's your reaction to Mitch McConnell calling this a mistake for Kevin McCarthy to give out this footage to Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, well, Mitch McConnell is a known certified rhino for a very long time. Of course, he's, you know, he and Mitt Romney and people of that kidney in the Senate, and there are some in the House as well who you know, sort of wave the false flag of Republicanism, but they're really, you know, they're establishment, you know, insiders. And of course, they feel threatened by all of this because, you know, these were the people who were, as they thought, you know, fleeing for their lives on January 6th, you know, escaping by a secret tunnel and all the rest of this. And there's nothing scarier for people who, in effect, use power illegitimately, as every elected leader who knowingly usurps the Constitution has done, than to come to the realization that, oh, my goodness, you know, the peasants are rising up against me. I could actually get hurt. Maybe I'm going to lose all my perks and my power and, you know, my ability to insulate myself from, you know, the slings and arrows of misfortune that afflict ordinary people living ordinary lives. You know, that's how they see it. So, yeah, it must have been genuinely terrifying for the likes of Mitch McConnell and his allies. And so certainly he has a vested interest in keeping the narrative, you know, not rocking the boat and maintaining the narrative that's been maintained to make sure nothing like this ever happens again. Heaven forfend the people actually regain some semblance of control over the body politic.
Well, and there were those who were trying to provoke people, and others would come alongside, don't listen to them, don't listen to them. And, you know, sometimes, whether it's true or not, but the people were yelling out, feds, feds, feds. And we see the provoking of individuals to do things, but others who stood up against them, no, don't go do that. Some recognized what was going on, and those who were trying to do provocation.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Sure. And I mean, people are coming to understand this. And I mean, you know, the thing is that mass demonstrations are really techniques that were developed and perfected by the left,
yes,
from the French Revolution onward. And so it kind of ill beseems those of us on the right to try to use that technique, because, you know, it always ends up going south unless you're willing to actually go out there and unless violence and disorder is your goal, as it is with genuine leftist insurgents, then you're not going to achieve your objective. The only thing that's going to happen is you're going to stir up opposition against you and give, in effect, your enemies casus belli. And that's what's happened, you know, with us on the so-called American right as a result of January 6th. And again, many of us, most of us weren't involved at all. But and certainly, you know, it's hard not to be sympathetic to a degree, you know, with what we, you know, with what P was going on. It's just that technique is wrongheaded. You know, you trying to use mob rule rules techniques
right.
in any degree, just, you know, they always end up going south.
Yeah, and but what's interesting is the media's reaction. I mean, over and over and over, we have heard the word insurrection take place as in reference to January 6th, and yet this is the same media that looked at what Antifa was doing, what the Black Lives
right.
Matter was doing in cities all across the country. We saw the burnings and the mayhem, the breaking of glass, and what do we hear? A largely peaceful protest.
Right, and those were protests that were serving the purposes of the left. They were creating chaos, creating division, creating a pretext for more and more, you know, government emergency, you know, action or reaction, as it were, on behalf of the left, of the radical left. And so, of course, they met with approval from the media cartel and from all the leftists in Congress. And in some cases, obviously, some of the congressional Democrats were openly egging them on
mm-hmm.
and have never been accused of any degree of complicity in that.
We know that there have been a number of individuals already prosecuted for one charge or another pertaining to January 6th. Some are saying that in light of the footage that has been released, we need to examine that footage, that we need to retry these individuals. And others are trying to have cases stalled in light of the footage that's been released. Your thoughts on this matter?
Well, it's a case-by-case thing. I don't know a lot about the details. I do know that Mr. QAnon Shaman was kind of tricked into a plea agreement in which he, among other things, he waived all rights for any appeal, right? And so I saw an interview with his lawyer admitting that it would be very difficult, even in light of this new evidence, specifically of him, evidence that was willfully withheld from his own defense team. But because in part of the deal was he waived any right to appeal, it's going to be very, very difficult to get his sentence overturned or mitigated in any sense. Now, he's due to get out of prison this summer, so he doesn't have too much longer to serve anyway. A lot of the others, of course, haven't even gone to trial, and each case is different. You know, maybe some of them were, probably some of them were people that broke windows and did stuff for which they ought to be punished, but a large number of them were people who were caught up in what was happening and just happened to be apprehended. I mean, I know back in my home state, Pennsylvania, my former home state, you know, there were FBI agents coming into central Pennsylvania and interrogating people in rural areas around there that alleged to have been in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. I mean, they cast an enormous dragnet. And who knows, you know, who all got pulled in by it.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Bonta is with us here today on Crosstalk and executive senior editor and longtime contributor to The New American Magazine, their website, thenewamerican.com. And friends, we're going to open our phone lines. We'll be taking your phone calls here today on Crosstalk, your questions, your brief comments. Our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more discussion, your phone calls as well, entering into our discussion today on Crosstalk at 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Have you wanted to impact a life for Christ but didn't know how? Perhaps you felt you were too old. The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry is a 95-minute dramatic film depicting a 75-year-old man pouring himself into some 12-year-old boys, motivating them to read their Bible and follow Jesus. A second film, Play the Flute, presents another story, this time of a youth leader who takes over a teen group that is filled with apathy and finds himself in an uphill battle. These are both powerful films reminding the viewer to stick to your calling. Now through April the 10th, VCY America is making a pack available including The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry and Play the Flute. and a bonus copy of the Gospel of John, all for a donation of just $25. Call VCY at 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today, we have Mr. Stephen Bonta, the executive senior editor, longtime contributor to the New American magazine, and authored the book Inside the United Nations, the website thenewamerican.com, and talking about this released January 6th footage. So far, very, what's come forth to this point, very revealing, giving a totally different narrative to what we have been seeing nightly in the news and what we have heard from the commentators, what we've heard from the politicians on the January 6th Select Committee as well. A different narrative is being produced by this, and we're discussing it here today. Let me just ask you this before we go to the phone calls. Steve, why does any of this matter?
Well, I think because the fate of a republic hangs in the balance. We can't sustain a government by the people if the people don't have the information. And this is a clear effort to system. Not that this hasn't happened before; it certainly has. But this is the clearest example yet of a concerted bipartisan effort to deny the people vital information so that they can make up their own minds regarding this, just extraordinary events the last few years, and maybe have a clearer verdict on the Trump presidency and so forth, especially with President Trump running for re-election.
Yeah, let the people see it. Let the people decide. Let's go to Ron in Tri-Cities, Washington. Hi, Ron. You're on the air.
Well, a couple of things. Blessed is man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So when you turn on the mass media, that's exactly what you're doing. You're filling your head with ungodly views and many times outright lies. So you have to be, as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. When I was at Sacramento State University, they had recruiting posters for Antifa on the wall. And I knew several people who went back to Washington, D.C. I consider Washington, D.C. much like Babylon the Great, the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. One of them, of course, is spelled B-Y-R-D. That's Michael Bird, the guy who shot Ashley Babbitt. One gal was from communist China. One gal was from communist Vietnam. They see us tracking exactly the same way. And if we don't turn this thing around, we're going to end up in despotism ourselves. Ron, and I applaud the guest today. I agree with him 100%. But one thing about these demonstrations, it shows the normal people that they're not alone if they start questioning things. The media wants to isolate us. And if you have demonstrations, now you say, hey, I'm not the only one who thinks this way.
Thank you, Ron, for the call. Any comment back here, Steve?
Yeah, that's a fair point. It just gets to the point of, okay, how do you do this? I mean, obviously, the Trump rallies were very, very significant. It's difficult. I went to an anti-abortion demonstration many years ago in Pennsylvania, and it went in the steps of the Capitol in Harrisburg, and, there was no violence or anything like that. In fact, I remember vividly somebody from a local convenience store commented to some of our people regarding a pro-abortion demonstration that had happened there the previous week. Apparently, the person said, well, I don't know much about the abortion issue, but I do know this. All the people who heard that last week, they seem to be so angry, and you people all seem to be so happy.
Wow.
So there's that. But, the larger it gets, it is a difficult thing to control.
Ron, thank you for the call. And, another aspect, you talked about the recruiting posters on the university campus there, too. No problem with that, just don't stand for, a just cause.
Right. Absolutely.
Let's go to Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah. I'm from an era that comes back to the time where the question was, is it real or is it Memorex? My point is this, is what was presented versus what is actually revealed is, to me, is what the question, the task is. I'm more concerned coming what's down the pike, and what I'm getting at is if the left is that devious into what they've already manipulated, I'm more concerned what's coming down the pike from a artificial intelligence. In other words, these guys are going to learn how to take it a step or two or three further as far as even being more deceptive in what they want to reveal versus what they want to conceal.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Your thoughts, Steve?
Well, I think that there's no plumbing the depths of deception on the part of the left because, I mean, what we call leftism now is really just the ideology of power. And it is, you know, people who are obsessed with power, and there's a minority of people, a relatively small minority, who are this way, unfortunately. It's always been the case throughout history, but they dedicate and waste and wear out their lives studying how to control people, mm-hmm. how to manipulate, how to deceive. I mean, anyone who's read, you know, Machiavelli's The Prince, you know, cannot help but be stunned at the sophistication of the arguments. I mean, they're nothing if not, you know, sophisticated. And I agree with the caller that this the new frontier, of course, is using technology to manipulate, yeah. you know, manipulate people. Obviously, this new so-called generative AI, we're following very closely
yes.
at the new American, you know, ChatGPT and all this other other stuff that can you know mimic human intelligence to eerie extent. And obviously, people are concerned about things like deep fake technology, where you can literally not just make a claim in words, but create videos that are absolutely lifelike and really can't be or are very very difficult to you know to repudiate. I mean, it's just yeah. I mean, we live in the age of the lie, to be sure, and that is only amplified and made more pungent by the power of 21st century technology.
We've got an anonymous caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim and Stephen. I was at the rally, and I will never call it an insurrection. I won't call it anything other than a rally. Five old people drove there a long way to be there. We got there on time. The massive crowd was unbelievable. They never show how many people were really there. People were hanging from the trees to be able to see the president speak. Hmm. Before President Trump got done speaking, there were a big group of people behind us by the Washington Monument that left early. And they were all about the same age and looked about the same, and we knew they were trouble. And they did not go down Constitution Avenue. They went down the avenue closer to the river. And when President Trump got done speaking, the massive crowd of patriots who were all having fun being there took Constitution Avenue down to the Capitol. When we got to the Capitol, the main body of patriots were at the back of the Capitol. All the massive problems that you see on the TV and everything were at the front, and I believe that that's where those people who left early went. And when we got there, we were maced. They threw mace at us, and we're thinking, what's this about? Because the stuff had already been done by the troublemakers who got there.
Well,
the other thing is, I got close enough to the Capitol to see that there were windows there, that there was a ladder there, that these windows had been taken out and wood had been put in there where the windows had been, and the wood was painted the same color as the stone of the building. When I finally, last year, it took me a year before I would watch anything on the news, but last year when I finally watched my first thing that showed supposedly what happened at the Capitol, they showed those windows as being broken out that day while we were there, and that is a total, absolute fabrication of what happened.
Wow. Thank you for the call.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting narrative, and thank you for sharing that firsthand experience. Lester in Tucson, Arizona, you're on the air.
Yes.
Go ahead, Lester.
My name is Lester Young. I'm in Tucson, Arizona. I have a friend who observed some of the films and realized that some of the people that actually were causing the problem were Antifa members dressed up like MAGA people. Mm-hmm. The MAGA people were peaceful, and I believe the entire thing was fake, intentionally caused by those people, and it was not really MAGA people doing it at all.
Thank you for your thoughts on that, Lester. Randy is next in Tomah, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Jim and Steve, I believe it is. Yeah, I just found the magazine I was looking for. I know Alex Newman wrote an article back in the New American on March 14th of last year, exposing the January 6th fraud. And in it, it's an article called The Review that a film that was made, the name of it was called Capital Punishment, and Nick Searcy and Chris Burgard, I guess they were both there, filmed what happened there. And as he puts in the article, he says, if the information in this documentary were to become widely known, the establishment's narrative would instantly crumble in the public mind, and so would the legitimacy of key actors in the government, media, and business. If the lies are allowed to stand, though, January 6th can and will go down in history as a critical junction in America's descent into totalitarian rule. The stakes could not be higher.
Yeah. Thank you, Randy.
Okay.
And I appreciate sharing that. Alex Newman, one of your colleagues there.
Yes. Yes, Alex will be, I guess you said, going to be our show soon.
Yep. Now, you will be, and covering another issue here. But indeed, so this is over a year ago, and warning about, you know, what the fallout of January 6th. And now this newly released video footage really bears, you know, out that, hey, there is a different narrative than what we've been told by the media.
Right. I mean that narrative was, again, Alex and other people have been writing about this and researching it and questioning, you know, pretty much everything, because that's what one does with the left. I mean, they tend to lie about these things. So, you know, we're certainly warranted in being skeptical from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's absolutely stunning how completely the video footage that we do have now, thanks to Tucker Carlson and Kevin McCarthy, give credit where credit's due, you know, how stunningly and completely they've confirmed this so-called alternative narrative. You know.
Our next caller is from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and we have Chris. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just have a quick comment. I'm amazed at how two different groups of people can look at the same event and come up with such drastic. When your guest was talking, I'm just thinking, you know, you got these people on the left, and they're like, they're comparing this event to 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. I just can't believe that. If they think that was a violent insurrection on January 20th, they need to get into their history books and go study American history circa 1776. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. And again, pointing out that, you know, this was not an armed insurrection. We see about some of these other things that have unfolded. You mentioned Pearl Harbor and so forth. And some have attributed this to a greater threat. That's what we've heard, a greater threat to our democracy than these other events.
It's absolute poppycock. Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit too young for Pearl Harbor, but I was actually working for the New American back in on 9/11 in 2001, watching the towers fall in real time, and this is in no way comparable to that.
Yeah. Friends, we're just 20 seconds from the break, so Emily, stay on the line. We'll get to you next, and Greg and Jim and others that are on hold right now. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Just bringing to the forefront here the footage that's been released in part last week by Tucker Carlson, the January 6th footage, providing another narrative, thousands of hours. The big question is, will we see more? Is there something going on behind closed doors stopping that further from getting out to the American people, or what's happening there? But what has been revealed so far is providing a totally different narrative than what we heard from the J6 Select Committee. Well, we'll be back with more of your calls following the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Now we have 20 banks that are reportedly in trouble as the contagion of the first Silicon Bank failure starts to spread. My friends, we've been talking for years about money and a biblical worldview. The Bible has an awful lot to say about wealth and money. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. Money can be used, well, for good or for evil. That's why it's important to apply a biblical worldview to this topic. Americans are about to get a real education on how our economic system in America works. It's not working as it should, biblically or constitutionally. President of the United States, Andrew Jackson, in his farewell address, warned Americans of the dangers of fractional reserve banking and a central bank. Now, we have consequences from the Federal Reserve and fractional reserve banking. Ideas, well, they have consequences.
This is Crosstalk coming your way from VCY America. Stephen Bonta is with us today, executive senior editor and contributor to The New American Magazine, the website thenewamerican.com. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We have Emily from Milo, Missouri. Hi, Emily, you're on the air.
Yes, my brother, Isaac Yoder, was actually some other than my family also, but my brother Isaac was there on January 6th. And he was dressed as George Washington. He likes to dress that way, has since he was a young child. And he did walk inside the Capitol. But we have also been involved in, like, pro-life, you know, being out on the streets and stuff. We have always, you know, been careful to stay where we're told. And, you know, you always, there's no trespassing signs, or the police say you can't go here, then you don't go there. And, you know, he said the police were like, fine, it's fine to go inside, you know, and he walked in just a little bit and walked out. There's actually a picture of him talking with a police officer inside the Capitol building. And he's been under, like, house arrest on, you know, where he has to call and tell a probation officer anytime he goes anywhere. He's been unable to have, you know, a gun or anything in his house since then. And his trial is next week on March 20th, but it's just very sad. Yeah. Treating people.
Thank you, Emily, for sharing that. And let me just say this. Just this morning, Steve, I saw footage, a new video that shows Capitol Police smiling while they're holding the door open for protesters to go into the Capitol. And we have seen this on many different fronts with the doors being open, sometimes officers holding the door open. That gives a totally different narrative, you know, from those who are making the surge into the Capitol.
Yeah, that's so sad. And, you know, you'd like to see those who held and the people who are responsible for this travesty, this miscarriage of justice, like the one that was just mentioned by our last caller, that they'll be held accountable. But I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah. Greg is next in New Richmond, Minnesota. Greg, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a comment. And, you know, I watch Fox, and it's basically become not real dependable. And I do, you know, I do appreciate what Tucker Carlson brings up. But my comment is why I think they could have released the tapes to a more reliable outlet than Fox. That's just my opinion. But
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Jim in Michigan, you're on the air.
Hello. The father of lies is Satan, and he has many servants that are having their hands involved in this January 6th thing, and the truth is not in them. And the bottom line is we have so many people in the Democrat Party and in the federal government that if Christ demanded they identify themselves, they would be yelling out, "We are Legion." And Joe Biden is America's Judas.
Okay. It's your thoughts here that you shared with us here today. Certainly troubling, troubling things going on and taking your calls today. Terry in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes, I agree with the previous caller there. This has been, always has been spiritual warfare. If we want to know what's most important to God, all we have to do is look to see where the enemy attacks most viciously, okay? Mm-hmm. Creation, evolution, sanctity of life, abortion, euthanasia. You can go down the list of institutions, the institution of marriage, the institution of family. God's the creator of genuine love. All we have to do is look to see where and this nation that we live in now is the first Christian nation in the history of the planet that was formed as a Christian nation. Christianity moved into nations that were already formed. So it's we need to know that the enemy wants this nation destroyed. the church has got to get on the battlefield for the cause of Christ. We want our banners clear when it comes for us. Thank you all for being there.
Thank you, Terry, for the call. As he points out, we're a very unique nation here, Steve, and that's why there are many who are trying to bring us down. And hence, you know, the big push toward the United Nations and one world government and everything else going on.
Well, and I appreciate the last couple of callers reminding us of the spiritual dimension of this, because it really is a contest between the forces of light and darkness, between God and the devil.
Mm-hmm. We've got Merle in Tennessee calling. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. A lifelong liberal author and journalist, Neoma Wolf, has written an open letter to all conservatives and Trump supporters apologizing for being duped into believing this was a terrible insurrection. She said after watching the new footage, she's apologizing to all conservatives. I thought that was courageous of her.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, in my opinion, I believe the real coup was orchestrated by the Democrats on election month, November 2020.
Thank you, Merle. Any comment there, Stephen?
Well, anyone who's seen 2,000 Mules, Dinesh D'Souza's documentary film, which is also being suppressed and ignored, even by the likes of Fox News, has, I think, in my opinion, a pretty good idea of how the scam was carried out.
We have one last call here that we can fit in today from Lawrence, Michigan. Zoltan, you're on the air.
Yes. The lady that spoke earlier about the group leaving from the Washington Monument there, I was part of that group. I was there also. And we did leave early, but it was very cold that day. But I can tell you there were provocateurs there, because I had one come up to me in fatigues up by the Washington Monument, and he said, and I told the rest of my group, hey, that guy just told me, he said, when we're done here today, we're going to go down to the Capitol, storm the building. It ends here today. And then he disappeared into the crowd, along with many other unsavory people that I saw. The other thing was Sicknick died, according to Tucker Carlson, he showed the coroner's report, that he died of natural causes of a heart attack.
Yeah. Thank you, Zoltan. Appreciate your call here. 30 seconds remaining. What would you like to leave in final comments here, Steve?
The truth will out sooner or later. Yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah, indeed. And friends, continue to be in prayer for this nation. We're living in troublesome times, and certainly the brighter the light, the darkness in this dark world, the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. Our guest here today, Stephen Bonta, the website, thenewamerican.com. That's thenewamerican.com. And Steve, thanks so much for taking the time and joining our listeners in discussion today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And friends, if you missed some of the program, please know this will be posted to our website within just a couple of hours from now. Check out crosstalkamerica.com, and you can listen to it and share links with others as well. That's crosstalkamerica.com. If you need a hard CD copy, you can reach out to our switchboard at 800-729-9829. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.